I want to look in Genesis chapter 4 for a little bit tonight. Now, I don't know. Sometimes I have to be real careful or I'll not be preaching and I'll just be talking. And so I don't want to do that tonight. But I want to give you... I've had parenting on my mind for some time, this idea of parenting. In fact, if there's any young parents down in a... Jesse, are you going down to the... Send everybody up if they're young down there that's got children, if you don't care. Yeah, there you go. Jesse, just stay up here and let some of these older ladies go. And we don't have many young parents here tonight, but it's just kind of been the burden on my heart. And I want to read about the first parents and some things that happened to their children and just use that as a springboard and just see what the Lord would have for us tonight. And I'm going to pray again before we start. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. You know I'm nothing. You know, Father, if you don't help me, it'd just be a total disaster. I know it, and you know it, and I guess everybody else knows it. But Lord, would you help us for a little while? Would you just touch me and help me to be a help to your people? And oh, Father, I ask you if there's anything that would hinder in our midst, anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, if you'd just refrain it for a few minutes. Do the work that needs doing. Help us now. Most of all, be glorified, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, I want to begin reading. And let me just tell you where I'm headed tonight. And maybe you can get with me right out of the gate. I want to talk about some common misconceptions with godly parenting. Some misconceptions, some ideas that we sometimes think that really it's not so. It's just not so. And I want to start with in chapter 4. And the Bible says this, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, excuse me, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her seed. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so we have the story of the first parents and the results of their parenting, part of the results of their parenting or their children. I don't know if we can blame it on their parenting, but I wonder and suspect if we can. Here's a phrase I hear a lot. I hear this phrase a lot. Everything's going to be okay. Or sometimes it's said to me like this, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I don't know, I just kind of started thinking about that in conjunction with what we're talking about. Maybe you all use that phrase a lot. Seems like I hear it a lot from different folks. And one thing, I'm a worrier. And maybe folks are just trying to settle me down a little bit. But I think sometimes folks say that when they're troubled, when they're tore up a little bit. I think some folks say that to try to convince themselves that everything's going to be okay. Now, we know when the Lord comes back, eventually everything's going to be okay. But in the context I'm preaching to you tonight, I want to say this. It's not always going to be okay. Now, I just want to say that to you. That's not really a true statement. It's going to be okay. When my dad died, I told that to my mom when I first saw her. I said, I hugged her up. I said, Mom, it's going to be okay. She said, it'll never be okay again. And I understood what she was saying. And there's some truth to that. And here's what we think sometimes. We think we can take certain actions, and we say this, Brother Steve will say this, it's going to be okay. And really deep inside, we know all along, it's not going to be okay. And so I started thinking about this from this misconception that everything's going to be okay. Now I want to tell you parents tonight, there's things you can do, and everything will not be okay. It won't be okay. I'm thinking about Eve when she committed sin. The Lord said, when you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And the devil told her, you're not going to die. You're just going to be wise as God. You're going to know good and evil. He was building her up. Here's what he was saying. You go ahead and sin, and it's going to be okay in your life. You go ahead. You can disobey God, and you can go contrary to God. And you do what you want to do, and it's going to be okay. You're not going to die. Well, we know she did die spiritually for sure, and death was placed upon her physically. And so she did die that day, and everything was not. The devil's saying to her, if we're putting in our words, here's what he's saying to her, you go ahead, eat of that tree, it's going to be okay. But it wasn't okay. And when we come down to her children that we've read about here, her sin affected her children. Now I know there is a couple of verses in the Bible. One said, I'll visit the sin of the fathers upon the, maybe it's the third and the fourth generation. There's another scripture that says, the children will not die for the father's sins, nor the father for the children's sins. And there are several interpreters. I've looked at that several times and read a few things on it. And I understand the different thoughts on it. But whether we could say this, you say my children not pay for my sins, I wouldn't argue with you on that. But I can say this, your sins will affect your children's lives. Now that's just the fact of the matter. And let's just walk through a few of these. Adam and Eve sin, did it affect Cain and Abel? Did it affect them? Can I say to you, Cain, that brought sin upon Cain and Abel, and can I tell you what happened? Cain slew Abel. I mean, he killed his own brother. Had Eve never sinned, had they stayed where they was at, there is a very good chance that would have never happened. That issue would have never come up. Can I say this? Even though they didn't pay for mom, dad's sins, I don't suspect they paid for those sins, but can I say that? They were repercussions on their life because of the sins of the mom and dad. And I want to just say it's a misconception if you think you can sin and it's going to be okay. It's not. It's going to have an effect on your children. Well, it's just a little sin. I don't care if it's little or big. Sin will have a resulting effect upon your children. I want to ask you this. After the flood, Noah got drunk, and he drank wine and was drunken, and that led to his son committing a horrible sin toward Noah. And I began to think about that. If Noah had not gotten drunk, and would Ham have done what he did? Well, I don't think that would have gave him an opportunity to have sinned like he did. And so I say that Noah's drunkenness had an effect upon Ham. Now, he may have been ungodly to start with, but it had an effect upon him. I thought about Lot going down to Sodom. I'm convinced Lot went down there to make a dollar. I believe that, and you can disagree if you want to, but I believe that's the ultimate purpose. I don't believe he meant to get involved, but can I tell you, his failure to separate made a difference in his children's life. He had two girls that ended up, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I think they had a reprobate mind. Their logic and their thinking made no sense. I mean, they had latched on to the philosophy of the immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they contrived a wicked plan with their dad that made no sense at all. It had a sinner would know better than what they come up with. And I'm saying to you, Lot's decision to not separate, it had an influence upon his children. And can I tell you, everything wasn't okay when he decided to go down to Sodom. We could talk about Achan and the gold and the silver and the Babylonian garment. And here's all he said, just a little silver, just a little gold. It's not a big thing. It's not a big disobedience. It's not like I've got a pickup truck load of gold, just a wedge. Gold. And really nobody knows. It ain't gonna affect the kids. They're not even gonna know anything about it. Can I tell you what happened? His actions resulted in the death of his children. They had an influence on his kids. And my all, you could just go off, you can just go through the whole scriptures, and I'm not saying they're paying for the parents' sins, but I'm saying the parents' sins influenced the children. And can I tell you, it never turned out just okay. It didn't do it. I thought about the children of Israel when they was going into Canaan, and they thought, we're just not going. We're scared, we're not going, and it'll be okay. Can I tell you, it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay. Their children had to waste 40 years of their life wandering around in the wilderness. And so here's what I'm saying. We say, it's going to be okay. I'm told that all the time. I guess because I ask so many questions, but they say it's going to be okay. Sometimes it's not okay what we do. Things don't turn out okay. The devil wants us to think it's going to be okay, but it's not. And I know ultimately when the Lord comes back and He settles everything, it will be okay. I'm talking about here on this earth. And so I want to say, the first thing I want to say, it's not true that everything's going to be okay. That's just not a true statement. That's a misconception. If you're a parent and you think you can parent any way you want to parent, and you can do any way you want to do, and you can raise your kids, and you can turn them loose, and you can let them run with anybody they want to run with, and everything's going to be okay, you're fooling yourself. It won't be okay. And so I want to talk about just a few of these. And I've already mentioned them, but I'm just going to go back and talk to you for a little bit. The children of Israel thought it would be okay if they didn't sell out and go to Canaan. They thought it'd be okay if they just didn't sell out. God said, I want you to go into Canaan. I'll give that land to you. You go in there, you take it over. You're going to have a land flowing milk and honey. I mean, you're going to have pollination. You're going to have fertility. I mean, it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it can't be no better than that. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to get us a captain. We're going back to Egypt. Y'all have all read the story. And they thought everything would be okay, but it wasn't. There's a lot of children that within 40 years, they lost their daddy because they died in the wilderness. And a lot of grandchildren lost their grandparents. And for 40 years, they lived, if I could say this and use it loosely, they lived defeated lives. They were defeated. 40 years of their life was just wasted, wandered. And I know you can draw a lot of, they learned a lot of life lessons. I understand all that. But I'm just saying, God, 40 years before they went in, He wanted them in Canaan. It would have been good had their children grown up in Canaan under the blessings of God. But because of what mom and dad did, it kept them out of the perfect will of God for 40 years, and they wandered around defeated. And can I say, they were not the perfect will of God for 40 years. And here's what I'm saying to you. It wasn't okay. I mean, I'm sure they thought, well, we've made it this far in the wilderness. We've learned how to survive. We've learned how to live. God's provided manna and water. All these things. They thought everything would be all right. But can I tell you, it wasn't okay. And mom, dad, I want to say this. If you don't sell out, it's not going to be okay for your children. It's going to affect them. It's going to affect them. That may seem odd for me to say. You may say, well, I'm just going to live a good Christian life, but I'm not going to sell out. I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you. It'll cost you. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know, it may cost you more than you want to pay. It usually it does. Usually it'll cost you a lot more than you want to pay. The fact, if you really want to get down to it, the fact of the matter was, they hid behind their kids. They said, hey, if we go in there, our wives and our children be killed. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to kill you off and let them go in and live victorious. And that's what happened with a lot of them. They tried to use their kids to justify not doing what God had told them to do. And here's what I want to say to you parents tonight. Y'all sell out. If you know, y'all move into Canaan. Y'all not wander around the wilderness all your life. Y'all not do it. And even The older folks here, y'all not. When you move into Canaan, you know what God wants for your life. Get in the perfect will of God and stay there. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll cost your children. It'll influence your children if you don't go to Canaan. Well, I'm doing good now. Yeah, you might be doing all right. There'll come a payday. You don't say no or disobey God. Shake your fist in his face and say, you don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to Canaan. You don't do that. There's a price to pay. The devil will tell you, hey, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It won't be okay. It won't be okay. There'll be a price to pay. And so the first thing I see is that it's not okay to stay out of Canaan. It's not okay. The devil will tell you it's okay. Just be a border dweller. Just come up there close and stay close enough, and that way you won't have to fight any of the enemy. And you can kind of feel good sometimes. Maybe a little of that milk and honey will slip across the border. But I'm going to tell you, it won't be okay. You better find the will of God for your life, and you better try to get in it the best. You know how to. And so we see that first. They said it was too dangerous, but really that was just a cop out for their fear. They're cowards hiding behind their kids. I've seen people say that. Well, I do this, but my children. I want to tell you, the best thing you can do for your children is get in Canaan and stay there. But then I want to give you another one that we say sometimes. We say it'd be best for my family because it's best financially. It's going to be okay. I know I'm going to have to. Now listen, I'm not throwing off on shift work. Brother Steve, I know sometimes you have to work on Sunday. You can't help it. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about nurses and policemen and all them rotating shifts that have to do all that. But here's what I'm talking about. Folks that don't have to, and they just choose to work on Sunday and do all this overtime just so they have money in their pocket. Just so they can get ahead. Here's what some folks think. The best, the path of prosperity is the best path for my children. That's what a lot of people think. However I make the most money, that's the path I ought to go, and that'd be the best for my children. I really think that's what Lot was doing. He went to them well-watered plains. He had the cattle and the herds. He had a market in Sodom and Gomorrah. He can fatten them up on the plains, take them down to the city, sell them. He's going to have plenty of money. Life's going to be good. He can send his kids to the best college, buy them a car when they're 16 years old. I mean, this is the right path for my children. You know that's where we live today. That's where we live today. Oh, I mean, we want to make all this money, get all you can all you get. And my, we're doing it for the children. Really, we're doing it for us. That's who we're doing it for. And we think this sometimes, well, it's going to be okay because I'll be able to take care of my family. It'll be okay. I can, anytime I preach on this little thought right here, I think about a fellow when Karen and I first got married was in a church that we attended some, and he was a route man, and he got a promotion to district supervisor, whatever the title was, in order to get that job and make that extra money, he had to move to Georgia in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I'm sure there's some good churches down there, I guess. But he didn't find a church before he moved. And his pastor had said, hey, you ought to be careful about moving, not having a church. You ought to be careful about that because you may get down there and can't find what you want, and your family spiritually not get what they need, and yeah, your children go sideways. Oh no, there's plenty of churches down there. We've got it. We won't have no trouble. You know, all them things. It's such a good promotion. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Can I tell you what happened? This rocked along over 5 or 10 years, and they were friends of Karen's mom and dad to some degree, good acquaintances anyway. And so we kind of kept up with him. He rocked on there. His kids went wild as could be. And his home split up. And he never got in church down where he was at that I know of. He did visit some churches, but he never got in the church. And really, he made a lot of money, but it cost him a whole lot more than he wanted to pay to make his money. It cost him. He had to give up what he had to get what he wanted. And my, that's a sad story to me. And here's all I want to say to you. Lot thought he could go down there and make a lot of money and it wouldn't mess with his family and everything would be lovely and everything would be good and he'd come out ahead. But can I tell you, and I'm sure he thought this, everything's going to be okay. I know they sodomy down there. We're not sodomites. I understand that's all down there. But it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. But can I tell you, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. Fact of the matter was, he lost some family in the judgment of God on Sodom and Gomorrah. And his girls, some way their thinking got twisted. I can't help but think they might have got that from the people of Sodom. Their thinking, their moral value system was destroyed. Now here's what I'm saying to you parents that's here. The path of prosperity is not always the best path for your parenting and for your children. And you say, well, I'll go that way and it'll be okay. It may not be okay. It wasn't for Lot. I mean, he raised two girls that thought it was okay to commit incest. Now you stop and think about that kind of mentality. Where did they learn that, Brother Steve? I'm sitting here thinking, the vilest sinner I know better than that. Wouldn't do that. And here's these two girls, and somewhere they got this philosophy, they got this mentality, somewhere they got in their head that was okay, and that was right, and that was the best thing they could do under the circumstance. Can I tell you what I think? I think they got down Sodom and Gomorrah influenced them, and they ended up with a reprobate mind. They didn't even know right from wrong. They couldn't even tell. They had no sense of anything. And it's all, if I'm right, and I believe I am, it was all so Lot could make a dollar. Get ahead. Have the good life. Live it up. Keep up with Uncle Abraham. All for that. Can I tell you, it's not okay to chase the dollar. That'll have an influence upon your children. Now listen, I know there's a balance on that. A man that doesn't provide for his own, worse than infidel. I understand that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying y'all sit down and not work. You understand what I'm saying and the way I'm saying it. I'm just simply saying to you, hey, it's not okay to sin like Eve did. Not okay. Well, it'll have an impact upon your children. It's not okay to be like Lot. It's just not. It's not okay to be like the children of Israel and not go to Canaan and get in the perfect will of God. And you think you're getting by. Man, you just camped out there in the wilderness. You've learned how to make it pretty comfortable. God's took care of you in the wilderness, and my, you don't have to fight anybody. Don't have to fight any giants, I should say. Don't have any battles in your life. You think it'll be okay? It won't be okay. There's a cost to it. There is a cost to chasing the dollar. And my, we could talk about that in more situations. And then I want to say this. It's not going to be okay if you leave the house of God. Now here's where Ruth was at. She was in Bethlehem, Judah. That's the house of bread and praise. Judah means praise, if my memory serves me correctly. The house of bread and praise. Now the picture, if we look at Ruth, the picture is, it was difficult times at the house of bread, which we can type that out as the church. And so what she did, she said, we can go out there in the world and life's much better out there. It's a lot better out there with them worldlings than it is in the house of bread. And so here's what she did. She got in her head, it's going to be okay if I leave the house of God. I'm going to get by. In fact, I'm just going for a little while. I'm just going to leave the house of God for a little while, and then I'm coming back when all the problems get solved and everything's better and there's plenty of bread in the house of God. I'll be back. But can I tell you, it wasn't okay. In fact, instead of sojourning, she stayed much longer than she wanted to. Now, I'm just going to tell you parents something. It's never going to be okay when you leave a godly church for a carnal church. It's never going to be okay when you leave a godly church to go into the world. There's a lot of folks. Hey, can I tell you this? There's a lot of places you could go, feel a whole lot better about yourself when you left than you feel here sometimes. I know that. I know there's feel-good churches. I understand that. And can I tell you, they'll get a profession out of your children. There's probably... These churches all over this county doesn't stand for the truth, but if you go there, they'll give you a false sense of security because somewhere they'll get a profession out of your children. You can go right down here at the... I don't guess I need to say it, but right down here on the side of the highway where they have thousands. And it won't be long till they'll get a profession out of your children. And man, you'll feel like, wow, they're in. Well, the fact of the matter is, it takes Holy Ghost conviction to be saved. And you can talk a kid into anything. You better be careful. And so then you're sitting down here in carnality, and your kids made a profession, and you're feeling real good about it. The fact of the matter is, they don't even know what Holy Ghost conviction's about. I know an independent Baptist in this town, and I heard one of the members say this. Well, she said it to me and my wife. We've got 5 preschoolers. We got 12 5-year-old preschoolers. I want you to pray if they're all saved before the year's out. Independent Baptist churches, you think 12 5-year-olds, God's going to save all of them before the school year's out? My lands, wake up! You know what's going on! You better let God do a work on your children's heart and life. I'm telling you right tonight. But see, people like that false sense. Oh, they're in now. And I understand. I like it too. And I'm proud of that. I'm just telling you, be careful. It's not going to be okay when you step down. Here's what Ruth said. Hey, it's not going so good at the house of bread. We're going to go down to Moab. Guess what happened to her children down Moab? They died down there. They died out of the house of God. They died away from God's people. I'm telling you, she made a decision, thought it'd be okay, but it wasn't okay. And it never will be okay. They died in Moab. It'll be okay, preacher. Oh, will it? It's not so every time. Not so every time. Well, let me just run you through the scriptures. I'm about out of time tonight. I'm thinking about Samson's parents now. Here's what they said, son, you ought not to go down there and marry that Philistine girl. But can I tell you what they really said? But if that's what your dad said to do, we're going to go down there with you and help you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, they told him right, but they didn't stand firm on it. They helped him do what they told him he ought not to do. Just study it out and see if I ain't telling you right. He told his mom and dad, I want that girl down there, and his dad had to be part of the process, and his dad went down there and was part of the process. Say, preacher, what are you saying? Can I tell you what they did? They tried to stand for truth feebly, and really what they wanted to do was be his friend and not his parent. They want to be his friend, not his parent. Now I want you parents, what few of you is here tonight to realize this. Your children, they may need friends, but they need a parent a whole lot more than they need a friend. Let me say that again. Your children need a parent a whole lot more than they need a friend. And you can be their parent and their friend. But if you have to sell the truth out to be their friend, you better stand for the truth. Poor old Samson, in his old days, they punched his eyes out. Man, it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. At one time, he was the man. I mean, he was a specimen. I mean, he didn't give anybody. He held his head high. But because of sin, they punched his eyes out and he's a laughing stock. They mocked him. And I'm going to tell you, Mom and Dad, if you don't stand for what's right and establish that in your children's lives and don't aid them, don't abet them, don't enable them to commit sin, if they're going to sin, you pray for them, stay away from it. You stand true to the truths of God's Word. And I believe one of these days, somewhere down the road, that'll sink in too. I believe Samson's parents are a little soft somewhere. And I'm not trying to be hard on them. There's a lot of good about them, I think. But I think they loved him so much, they just couldn't. If I can just use this little phrase and you understand what I'm saying, they couldn't play hardball with him. They couldn't say, Samson, it's wrong. We're not having a part of it. I'm sure Mama said, hey, he'll just leave us. He'll just go down to Philistia and we'll never see him again. He'll keep the grandkids for... I can just imagine. And we all battle that. I've battled that in my family. Trying to keep peace, trying to stand for what's right, not knowing where to draw a line, what to draw a line on. I'm telling you, when it's sin involved, we have to take a stand against it. We have to, Mom and Dad. And I'm talking more. I understand Samson was grown. There ain't much you can do with grown children. I understand that. I'm talking more about you young families going to have teenagers one of these days in your house, under your rule. Under your authority. Once they're out and gone, I mean, they're out and gone. But I'm going to tell you, Samson needed his parents to get done what the evil he was wanting to do, and that was to marry a Philistine girl. He needed their help, and they helped him. And here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to you parents. Stand firm on the truth and on right. Don't waffle when it comes to the sin issue. Don't waffle. It's not going to be okay if you do waffle. Because if you let a little sin, if you enable, if you help, if you promote a little sin in your children's life, the sin stay dormant. It grows. Let them drink occasional beer. Can I tell you, it won't be long. They'll be drinking every day. Won't be long. That'll just be a lifestyle, and it may not be long till they promote from beer to liquor to drugs or whatever else. I'm saying to you, it's not okay, parents, for y'all to condone sin in your children's life when you have it within your power and your ability to take a stand against it. It's not okay. It's not going to be okay. You're teaching your children what they don't need to learn. You're teaching them the wrong thing. We could go to Eli. Same thing. The sins in his life. He could put his boys out of the priesthood. He wouldn't do it. He's too soft on them. He could have put them out. He could have dealt with them. But he wouldn't do it. And can I tell you, it cost them. You know that. I'm just trying to say to you, there's a cost. And then I want to say this. And I'm going to close on this one right here. And we could just go through the Bible and pick out one right after another. I'm just going to tell you, you better listen at me, parents. It's not okay when you drop the bar, when you get out of the house of God, when you let sin in your life, and when you start chasing the dog. It's not okay. And it's not going to be okay. There's going to be some repercussions to it. Then I want to talk about David for a minute. I think about David, you know, I think of him as being a good dad in some ways because Solomon, when he wrote the Proverbs, he said, I'm teaching you, son, what my dad taught me. And it makes me think David somewhere along the line was a pretty good dad, but the fact of the matter was a lot of times David didn't have a clue what his kids were doing.
Brother Tom, you ever think about this? He had a son that was contemplating immorality with his daughter. He didn't even know about it. In fact, his son used dad to accomplish the plan. He didn't even know about what was going on in Amnon's life. And then he had a friend named, is his cousin, Jonadab, David's brother's boy. Jonadab, ungodliest friend a man could have, that was his friend. And David didn't even know. He was just letting Amnon buddy up with this guy, and this guy took Amnon down. He took him down. He didn't know what was going on in his kids' lives. He didn't know who his friends was. He didn't know what he was saying. And I understand there's a certain degree of that we'll never know. But I don't see David trying to find it out. He just didn't get it. And then we see Absalom, he's gonna kill Amnon for what he did to Tamar a little later on. And David doesn't even pick up on it. And I know he's king. I know he's got a lot going on. But he doesn't know what's going on in his family. He's not close to the heartbeat of his children. He's not picking up on it. And I guess he's thinking everything's going to be... He's got a daughter in his house who's in great danger. He don't even realize it. He don't even realize she's in danger. And it's his own family. He don't even realize what's going on in his home. I think about that. And I understand that's real easy. It can happen. We get busy in life and busy and busy. But can I tell you, parents, stay on top of your kids. No, try to know what's going on in them little heads of theirs. Try to know what their success is and what their defeats and what their problems in life are. Try to know those things. Try to be, ask God to make you wise enough to spot adversaries that can hurt your children. Jonadab was bad for Amnon. And David just said, Jonadab, get away. I know you're his first cousin, but you get away and leave him alone. And he ought to make sure Amnon was stayed away from him. But he didn't have a clue. Well, should he have? I don't know. I don't know the setup back then. But I'm thinking now, parents, hey, can I tell you, you don't know who's after your children. Now, you better listen to preacher. Steve, you don't know when you're talking to a pedophile. I'm convinced pedophiles sit on church pews every Sunday. I hope not here. I don't think here. I'll guarantee you there's pedophiles everywhere. And the reason they're so successful as a pedophile is because they can camouflage who they are. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a wicked world. Can I tell you what Satan's after? Your kids. He's after them. And God made you the parent to watch out for them and to protect them and keep them away from adversaries. And you better be wise and be conscious of that and beg God to help you with it. I'm telling you, we live in wicked times. You can't trust nobody. Now listen, I know you're saying I can trust this. And maybe you can. I understand that. I'm going to tell you, can I tell you there's a fella, me and Brian Williams was visiting. I thought he was a fine man. I thought he was. And he's got a pool. Of course, you know Brother Brian's convictions. He told him, said, bring your children over and let them swim in my pool. Well, Brian's kids, they swim in dresses. And Brian knew he wouldn't understand it. Brian said, there wasn't no way I was going to do that and make a big deal about it. But can I tell you, it wasn't 3 months. He made headlines. They arrested him for child pornography. 2 miles from my house. Not a mile from my house, maybe. I don't know. I thought he's a good man. I've been up there to high school, and he just seemed like he's top notch. He's involved in the football program and all that stuff daddies do with high school boys. He's in all that. They arrested him for pornography. He wanted Brian Williams' girls to come over there and swim in his pool. I'm telling you, we're in perilous times, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you, young married folks. You young parents, you better watch your children. There's a lot of religious people that have no conscience and no morals. And I'm serious with you. David didn't have a clue what was going on. But he could have done a lot better for it. And can I tell you, you might say, well, I'm busy with my job, and I'm busy with this, and I'm doing this, and I'm involved in that. But the Lord knows that it's going to be okay. It may not be okay. It may not be okay. You better take me serious. I think sometimes, and I've seen people who knew it wasn't going to be okay. They'd just say, "Ah, it's going to be okay." They knew it wasn't going to be okay. They knew it wasn't. And I don't know if they're just trying to soothe the conscience or make themselves feel bad. But there's a lot of things the devil will tell you. This is apparent. It'll be okay if you just let that slide. It'll be okay. You don't have to have prayer of a night. You don't have to read the Bible of a night. It'll be okay. It may not be okay. You don't have to go to Canaan. It'll be okay. Be careful. I'm telling you, folks, we're in perilous times. And the devil will lull you to sleep. And you'll get all these misconceptions about things. It's going to be okay. And the fact of the matter is, it won't be okay. Don't go that route. Just don't go that route. Listen at me. Listen at me tonight. Serve God. Put Him first in your life. Let just whatever God wants out of your life, go. Go to Canaan. Whatever it is. Don't take the chances of the repercussions of refusing to go to Canaan. Oh my, don't be your children's best friend. Be their parent. You can be a friend to them, be a parent, but be a parent first and foremost. That's what they need. Don't leave a good church and go to a sold out church. If you leave a good church, go to a better church. Don't let sin come in your life and think you're going to get by and it's going to be okay. It won't be okay. Don't chase the dollar. Don't run to Sodom for a dollar and think it ain't going to affect your family. It will. And I don't know. I just, that little phrase, "it's going to be okay," it just kind of kept working on me. Is it going to be okay if you come short? Is it going to be okay? What's going to be the price tag on your children, parents? What's going to be the price tag on it? That's all I'm asking you tonight. You see, I've raised my children right now, and I'd give $1 million if I had it to do it over. I made so many mistakes. I'm ashamed to tell you, I just made mistakes in it. But you learn two ways. You learn from your failures and you learn from your successes. And I can't go back, can't do it again, can't redo it. But I can tell you young parents some things about it. What I would do if I could do it again. I can tell you some things about that. And I'm going to tell you, you better believe this. If you don't go God's way, it's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. There's going to be a price tag on it. Go with God. That's my little message tonight. Brother Bud, let's have a verse of a song. I don't know. Maybe I didn't speak to anybody's heart tonight, but I really believe it's what God wanted me to preach to you. I believe you better heed it. I believe you better heed it in your life and in your heart. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head for a minute. We'll have a verse of invitation. God spoke to you, be obedient. And If not, when we sing a verse or two, we'll go home tonight. Brother Bud?